This is Steve Sherlock with another in a series of podcasts for Franklin Matters. This is number 110 in the series, and we'll provide the audio recording to the Economic Development Committee meeting held on Wednesday, March 24th, to discuss the traffic study that was updated as a preliminary discussion for the RFP for the Pond Street facility. The traffic study was discussed in detail. You'll be able to hear the entire meeting with regards to the discussion there. The details for the report itself are available via the links. So if you have not heard of that study, you certainly can read it. And the meeting closes without a resolution on the RFP itself. But the next meeting, Wednesday, April 8th at 6 p.m., should bring that to a close finally. So, without further ado, this is the intro to the meeting, Economic Development Committee meeting on Wednesday, March 24th.
Time being 6:04 p.m., I'd like to open the EDC meeting for March 25th. I'm going to start off by handing this off to Jeff for introductions. Jeff?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As a result of a lot of input from the last meeting, we retained Beta Engineering, which is a firm the town uses on a regular basis to do a traffic study of the intersection and the area to see what an independent voice would have to say about any kind of development. I did give them the copy of the Starbucks traffic report, both the one that the Starbucks did and the town did. He did review the draft MPO study, traffic study of 140 that's out there. And I then gave him a scenario. Well, if you build this out to a medical office building and a hotel and some condos, you know, what would that mean in terms of trips, and what would that mean in terms of intersection, and what problems or solutions might that cause or create? Obviously, ultimately, if an RFP is issued and it has different criteria, the actual study would have to take place to see what it is. So this was just a sample of one. So I asked them to blend the two, review the two existing ones, and then blend this in and see what the result is. So Greg Lucas from Beta is here, Mr. Chairman, to make a presentation.
Take it away, Greg.
Thank you. I'll stand because we'll use the map here as a guide. I'm sure everyone's familiar with the area we're talking about. Mm-hmm. But as Jeff mentioned, we looked at the traffic impact study that was done for the Starbucks and other use development, which is under construction right now, and looked at the traffic in this area, the new trips that would be generated by what they're building, and specifically the impact on the intersection of Route 140, Old West Central Street, and the Franklin Village Shopping Center. We also looked at the Boston Region MPO study. The MPO is a planning organization that covers a large portion of eastern Massachusetts, including Franklin. And they did an arterial study for Route 140 for two separate segments, the West Central Street segment from here through Panther Way and Beaver Street, and then East Central Street right out our front door here. So we looked at the information that they had for this intersection and came up with a base of what is the traffic today. And since both those studies collected data at different times, had different traffic volumes, we took the higher of the two to figure, okay, well, this is, you know, going to have the most impact. We took that, we added the trips that they're generating here. We looked at what they were predicting for distribution and thought that that made sense, and then took that as our base, a future condition, a seven-year projection that they did with 2013 data to a 2020 base. So we took that future condition, and then we thought about what could happen on the Pond Street parcel. And there was some work that was done previously where we established some uses, the medical office, a business hotel, condominiums. We revisited the trip generation that was done for that, which determines the number of car trips to be expected, both on a daily basis during the peak hour. We found that that was actually underestimated before on a daily basis, And mostly that had to do with the medical office, because the medical office will generate more trips in and out, but not necessarily more trips in the peak hour. We looked at that peak hour, which is the busiest time at this intersection, and said, well, the reports tell us that there's a problem today. There's a problem today with the left turn from Route 140 eastbound onto Old West Central Street. And the Boston Region MPO study expressed that same issue, that there's a problem today that operates at, we talked in terms of level of service, an A through F scale, which is pretty easy for everyone to understand, F being failing. And the MPO study looks calls that left turn level service F. So we know that it's a problem today. It's a problem before they open this. It's a problem when they open this. It's a problem with whatever you consider in the future for the Pond Street development. What we did then was we added the trips that we expect for the uses that are being considered for that Pond Street development. We added them to the intersection, and we looked at a couple different options. One option, which is what was recommended by the MPO study, is to make this a double left turn lane. Widen this so that it has more capacity, more storage, and that improves the intersection with the future development, with the trips that we estimated based on the expected uses for that development. Another thing that we looked at, looking at the geometry of this, we said, well, this piece of Old West Central Street that was discontinued back when this was constructed, maybe there's a way that we can use that, and instead of people turning left into the plaza, we could send them up here, and we could have them come in this way and come straight across. And we found that that really didn't help the situation, that you still had the problem with the left turn coming this way, you had problems on this approach that doesn't exist today, and then there's the whole question of what would happen here, which we couldn't accurately study because we didn't have traffic volumes for this. So that's something where, at a preliminary level, it looks like it probably isn't feasible, but to really flesh it out would require further study and looking at volumes coming here, but I would say that it probably won't work. So the most viable solution to this intersection to accommodate both existing problems, to address existing problems and accommodate future development, would be widening this to make it a double left turn lane. That would also require some work on the Old West Central Street this way, because you need to receive two lanes. It needs to be wide enough for two through lanes.
And so I think that covers the general overview, the reports available. I know a lot of you already have copies. So at this point, should we take questions?
What does that mean? So is there an AM peak problem now?
There's a PM peak problem now. There's a peak. That is page 6. I know there's a lot of, as you look at this, if you have a copy of it, there's a lot of letters and numbers and AM, PM, base with development. Just to clearly explain, what's shown on page 6, 2020 base is that future base that we looked at. That's the intersection with the projected trips for the Starbucks. The 2020 base with development on the right-hand side is that same condition with our assumptions for what happens to the Pond Street property. One other thing I should mention is that the Starbucks study looked at distribution and where people are coming from, and they had estimated based on traffic volumes, based on population, based on the area, that 45% of the traffic entering that site, because they have an entrance, they have a right in, right out here. People coming this way have to go onto Old West Central Street to get to that future development. And so they estimated that 45% of their trips are coming here, turning left from Route 140, and then coming in. 35% of their expected volume comes from this direction. They come through, they turn in. 20% comes from Pond Street. And so we use those same assumptions when estimating trips that would be generated by this development.
Did you say that problem exists today for Pond Street coming up in West Central Street?
The problem today, the biggest problem is here at the intersection is this left turn. The Route 140 eastbound left
turn. But coming up from Pond Street onto West Central, there's no problem at all, is there?
There's not failure. I mean, there's some queuing coming out and turning left.
I've used that intersection various times a day for the past 2 years. Mm-hmm. Never, ever, if I had more than 3 or 4 cars ahead of me. Never. Mm. Never had a problem.
Yeah, looking here...
I'm not saying it's not going to...
Right. Looking here at the results, for that left turn coming out of there is a queue of 250 feet, which is about 10 cars.
Yeah.
Now, that's... we studied 95th percentile queue, so that's the worst of the worst of the peak hour. So perhaps if you drove that every day, you might see a day when it was really bad and it was 10 cars.
And what do you anticipate when Starbucks opens again?
That's with Starbucks.
Okay.
We don't... the Starbucks study has what it is today. We didn't look at that because we know that it's coming. So we're just assuming that it's there, even though it isn't here. We're concerned with what it will be in the future for the Pond Street development.
Questions, comments?
Sandy?
Yes.
Sandy Verhagen, Franklin resident. Couple of questions. If you're doing a double turn lane, you have to widen the road, as you go around.
Yep.
Does that also mean that you're going to be taking out some front yards of those houses that are on, so keep going. If you're going around there.
Up here?
Yep, there and down to Rolling Ridge.
I wouldn't expect it to go up that far. I mean, that's something that would need to be looked at further. That's something really... Route 140 is state highway through here. The state owns this road. The state owns this intersection. So they would be in charge of what happens with this widening, this left turn.
Mm-hmm.
They would dictate that. But in my experience working on projects like this, geometry, and working with the state, I can't envision that it will go that far up to where these houses are. It's certainly not up to Rolling Ridge.
So if you have those two turns and there's two lanes of cars coming and then mm-hmm. all of a sudden right there you're going back down to one lane where there's not going to be an entrance into Starbucks, you don't see that causing a bottleneck right there?
I would expect it would happen before the Starbucks entrance.
The bottleneck would happen before?
Well, the merge from the two lanes to one. And there's a lot of areas where... you look at intersections and it widens out at the intersection to provide more lanes getting through the intersection and narrows back down.
Mm-hmm.
You would think that that's just creating bottlenecks, but it really does help process cars through the intersection.
Yes, Joe?
Wouldn't it be easier, in my experience driving down 140 coming from Bellingham, there's a wide concrete 20-foot section in between. Why wouldn't they just narrow that down and make the single lane longer rather than getting into that merging problem?
Again, it's throughput through the intersection. So to make that longer, it would accommodate the stacking that exists today. I know when I came off 495 tonight, the traffic was backed into the through lane, so they'd all be in the left turn lane, but then you need a much longer green time to get them through the intersection. So that's the benefit of doubling it up versus just extending
it. So if they did the idea you're proposing... and there was two lanes backed up that far, and you get the green light, how much more are you going to gain after you take that left before it merges? How much can that really create for more of a turning to take that left turn?
I think that, it doubles the throughput during that green, and you'd be surprised at how effectively people can merge after coming through a situation like that. It's a better, in my mind and in my experience, it's a better way to accommodate that queue, that demand, and get them through the intersection.
Yes, sir. Greg, I have a question.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I want to be clear on this. Are your recommendations on that intersection because of the intersection in of itself right now, or... is this simply your recommendations that are cause and effect of the Pond Street projections?
What
project?
I'll answer it this way. This what I'm stating here was the MPO's recommendation in their report.
As it sits right
now. As it sits right now,
okay.
That was their recommendation. And that's even without the Starbucks. That's their recommendation. There's a problem today. This will address it.
So it's, we're addressing today's problem. We're not necessarily focusing this on a cause and effect as if Pond Street, whatever we're doing.
And
effect.
What I'm saying is, I agree with that. And it also serves to accommodate the Starbucks demand and serves to accommodate future demand of the Pond Street development.
Yeah.
That's assuming that the state would make the improvements.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Mr. Scarangelo?
Post Scarangelo, Martello Road. In the report, you indicate, in addition to the double lane turn, wiping out, or you probably didn't, whoever made this proposal, taking out the median divider,
mm-hmm.
right? And also, since this, you talk about this HSIP cluster,
mm-hmm.
which is, I guess, it's in excess of crashes that take place at a certain based on a number of cars.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you stand with those three recommendations? There was an interim, by the way, to do a short-term adjustment on signaling.
Sure.
So you had three options there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you take all three into consideration? Do you do one and not the others? Where do you come from on this?
Those three recommendations that you just mentioned were the three recommendations that were presented in the MPO study.
Right.
One was the double left turn lane, like I was talking about. The other was retiming the yellow and red clearance times. And the other was a road safety audit. And that talks into that HSIP funding,
right.
which is Highway Safety Improvement Plan. I have a lot of experience with MassDOT, with road safety audits around the state. The HSIP program is a funding source, but what happens is they use crash data to define what are the highest crash locations in a region. And so the MPO study determined that this is a high crash location. And the state data confirms that. It's in the top 5% in the region, in the MPO region, which means that if a road safety audit was done here, it would be potentially eligible for that funding source. Now, this is all determined by the state. Definitely, the road safety audit would be required as part of any improvement here. The state would require that because it's a high crash location. Whether the HSIP funding is used or not.
Can you define where the high crash location is?
This intersection.
Okay.
And so what they do is they define, they have a database that says, okay, is there's a crash, these aren't specific crashes, but you know, maybe there's a crash here, there's a crash here, there's a crash here, and then it clusters everything in an intersection area. And it says, okay, when we compare this cluster with clusters all around the area, this is in the top 5%. So the other thing, the signal retiming, that's something, again, this intersection's under the state's control. I would definitely recommend that. I think it's something where perhaps when it was originally designed, it was designed under older standards. Those have changed. So it's something that should be updated. So in summary, I would agree with all three recommendations.
Well, my concern is I read this and I say, okay, there are three recommendations. They all make sense, I guess, to eliminate the problem we have. How do you get the state to move off that center with their part of the program? Who's responsible for picking up the tab for it, swinging the double lane? I mean, what's the sequence of getting things done?
We'd have to call MassDOT District 3,
right.
ask for a meeting.
Right.
That would be the first thing, and say, hey, we got the MPO report.
The MPO report and the fact that the town's been proactive with this study shows that, you know, there's a lot of competition for funding. I think everyone's aware of that, especially in you know with the new governor in place. But this is something where we haven't established need by the MPO.
And these requirements are over and above what Starbucks is going to bring to the table, right?
Right.
Thank you. Do you know the current projections from Starbucks, the one that was done by the company that's doing Starbucks? Do they account for any advertising on the freeway, you know, like this, not, you know, exit 17, Starbucks there?
No, I think that, you know, that's something, that's a good question. I think that, you know, they're accounting for where people would be coming from, so it includes that freeway traffic. I don't know that a sign will make a tremendous difference in the number of people that are drawn to this Starbucks, but that's a separate that's a separate entity where they have to go and pay the state to have that sign put up. So it doesn't specifically address that, to answer your question.
Okay.
Fresh in the back.
Yeah.
Did you look at Pond Street itself too, or is it just focused on the intersection?
We didn't look at Pond Street because the existing studies we had didn't have traffic data for Pond Street. Any future development that happens up there would require looking at that traffic, looking at a potential, you know, entrance on Pond Street and what that impact is. Certainly what the impact is on the signalized intersection up there, north of the site.
Greg, did you discuss a rating for that intersection? What's that rated? Or
the level of service?
Yeah.
The level of service today, well, our 2020 base, overall it's a level of service C in the morning and D in the afternoon. Now, that D in the afternoon is somewhat deceiving because, as I mentioned before, it's an F coming in left here. There's an E coming the left turn in the opposite direction.
Yes, Mr. Frangel.
Excuse me. I think this is a detail. In your chart, you talk about the eastbound 140 turn, which is the left-hand turn, with a U-turn. Now, the U-turn has been eliminated now. Right now, you can't make a U-turn if you were proceeding on that left-hand side.
You can't make a U-turn here?
No.
Right.
Okay, well, we had the
no, and my point,
the volumes from the studies had U-turn volumes. So.
Okay, and my point is that if you allow a U-turn, they're going to encourage more Starbucks people making the U-turn and
right.
then going into the, which is, I think, what we don't want it to happen.
No, and the Starbucks study didn't assume any kind of U-turning traffic, and if the prohibition exists today, there's no reason why it wouldn't. Why it wouldn't remain?
Okay, I'm surprised by the numbers. 45% coming from the west. People got to be harder for a cup of coffee to come.
It's primarily because of 495. They're coming. You know, they're coming off of 495.
Yeah. I guess. I mean, just,
you know,
but
I know
anyway.
When I sit on the freeway and I see a Starbucks.
Yes,
that's
right. Because there's no other Starbucks
well,
in the.
There's no U-turn. I guess I just wanted to.
Okay.
That.
Okay, that's good to know. Thank you.
Could you, again, because the committee hasn't seen this before, some of the assumptions on the trip generation on page 5 change, the medical office building was doubled from what we've got in 5.
Right, and I briefly touched on that, but I'll go into further detail. What we found was that the trip generation that was done before had, in trip generation, there's industry standards that say, okay, well, a grocery store, for example, generates this many trips, and it's based on studying grocery stores all around the country. So we know by use. So we have these specific uses. What happened was the previous estimates that were done didn't look at a medical office, but looked at a general office. And the difference there, and the reason it generates so many more, the medical office generates so many more daily trips, is that a general office is people who go to work at, 8, 9 o'clock in the morning and leave at 5 o'clock. So there's an influx of people in the morning. There's people going out in the afternoon. There's not a lot of people coming and going in the middle of the day. Medical office, people are coming and going. They have appointments throughout the day. And so while the peak hour trips, which are more critical to the intersection, aren't that much different, the total daily trips were a lot more. So for total, we were looking at before somewhere around 1,700, 1,800 trips for all three uses. Now we're looking at almost 3,000. But again, the peak hour trips aren't that much different. The other thing was that the hotel, they had assumed 85% occupancy. So they took how many trips are expected for a hotel of that size and multiplied by 85% and said, well, it's not going to be fully occupied. The problem with that approach is that the studies that are done are based upon, they're not based upon full hotels, they're based upon hotels, typical business hotels. So we assume, based on that size, these are the trips that would be generated, and it assumes a certain level of fullness or emptiness. So we didn't reduce it by that 85%. And then there are other slight variances because some of the numbers have changed. They're always further refining these trip rates.
Right. Do you anticipate any more required work on Pond Street? Should Pond Street be developed? Any mitigation as far as widening islands, sidewalks, stop signs, stoplights? I mean, there's a big complaint that that's like a really fast straightaway.
Mm-hmm.
They pick up a lot of speed there. Did you get to address any of that? Or?
No, I mean, we didn't look. Like I said, we didn't have traffic volumes for Pond Street, so we didn't look at that. Obviously, there'll need to be some kind of treatment at that entrance, probably a left turn lane. And there can be, you know, we could address those concerns about speed in the future with whatever happens there.
Anybody have any questions for Greg while he's here? Bobby?
So you're saying coming down Pond Street, if you have to take a left in there, you'd have to make another lane there? Is that what you're saying?
No. We're talking about on Route 140. There would be a two left turn lanes here.
But I think if you look at this map, I think what he's talking about, if this property gets developed, you'll probably need a left-hand staff.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Into that, you know.
Yeah.
That would be probably a basic recommendation beyond whatever else.
Right, that's what I'm trying to say.
There's plenty of room within the right-of-way.
I don't know. I think Pond Street's a 60-foot right-of-way.
Yeah.
It's significant. I don't know what the through volume is on Pond Street today.
Right.
We didn't have that information from these studies. But, you know, we're looking at a total of 141 entering trips in the morning. So in that busiest hour, 141 people stopping to make a left turn into that site is significant.
Yeah. Is it Sandra?
Yes. Just one last comment, and I know it's based only on my experience and no data, but if there is a left turn signal there, I'm sorry, I could see this map better. If there is a left turn signal there around that corner.
You're talking about
right
a left
there.
Turn signal here?
Yeah, is that the one that you...
I know.
I understand.
Yeah, I wasn't suggesting a signal. It'll certainly require study.
So what I would like to just, since we're talking about Pond Street and possible development, just from my experience going down that road maybe 5-6 times a day, is if you now have that turning, that Starbucks there, that's going to back up because I exit my house on Rolling Ridge. I wait there a very long time on the not even during the busy time to exit there because there's so many cars coming both ways. If it's not one way, then it's the other. So I guess what I'm saying is if we're considering what could possibly happen in the future there, if there's any type of stopping at the further up Pond Street, it is going to back up all the way up to where Starbucks is.
That would help.
Does that make sense?
I understand your point, and again, I'm not advocating for a signal. I'm not saying that a signal would be justified here, but theoretically, if you were to install a traffic signal here, I wouldn't expect it to back up that far, and it would actually occasionally stop the traffic coming this way and maybe help you getting out of Rolling Ridge and your neighbors, and actually help people coming out of Starbucks as well.
All right. Yeah, I see that.
But you're talking about the potential of a left turn lane there, not a light.
Again, we didn't have the study. I'm saying based on the trips, a left turn lane might be prudent.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if a traffic signal would be justified or be prudent.
Yeah.
That's something that's going to require further study. But the thought of the left turn lane is that it would get those people that are stopped to turn left out of the traffic stream, and that actually might help not back people up down Pond Street.
One follow-up question.
Sure.
All right. Did you do any studies or look at anything on the Old West Central parcel?
That's what you mentioned.
Going straight. So where that Dunkin' Donuts is, if we were to open that lane up, and straighten that whole thing out. Did you look at that at all?
We did look at that, very preliminary, because we didn't have volumes for the Tri-County Drive.
Okay.
So we couldn't determine what would happen here.
Yep.
We did determine that by opening that up and forcing all of these left turns to instead go up here and come through this intersection, doesn't help.
It helps
that left turn, obviously, because it's not there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It helps the eastbound through traffic because they don't have to stop when that left turn lane's going.
Uh-huh.
But it degrades Old West Central Street further. It degrades Franklin Village further. because now you've introduced more traffic coming from the side street. And again, we don't really know what would happen here, how this would be configured. You'd almost have to make it a four-way.
Theory was that you get the people who want to take a right and the people who want to take a left off of 140 and kind of straighten out that whole bottleneck. And for any of us that go to Franklin Village Mall, it's a nightmare once the kids get out of school until 5, 6 o'clock at night.
Yeah, I think on a very preliminary level, we determined that probably wouldn't work well.
Okay.
And my other thought is that you'd end up making this into a four-way intersection, and two things would happen. One is that anyone now who comes up here and turns right to go to Old West Central and Pond Street is now going to go right through here, and all the people coming this way that want to turn right and get to Route 140 will have a much harder time getting through here, because now they've got to go through two signals instead of just having what is essentially a through movement today to this signal.
Okay. Go ahead, Jeff.
Is there a level of service when the intersection fails? I mean, I appreciate it fails on the left. Is there a level, is it you had 100 cars, 1,000 cars? When does the intersection fail beyond where it already has failed?
I think that
because one of the issues before the community is, if you look at page 5, if they just said, hey, you can put 50 condos there, there's 300 trips a day. Big deal, right? If you put a hotel there, it's 900 trips a day. If you put two medical office buildings, part of the decision-making process is, you do nothing, you do A, B, C,
right.
And that has a different impact on the intersection.
Yeah, and we didn't, we didn't go that far. We just looked at this assumed case.
Right.
And we've already gotten into trouble with that in the afternoon, because while the overall intersection is level service D, you have that problem area. So you can't get this to operate at below level service F without further degrading something else to make it fail. So, it's a balancing act with signal timings, but we get to a point where we can't balance it anymore to make it work well, to make it so that there aren't critical issues. Just with this level of development.
So even if we weren't talking about Pond Street, we should be picking up the phone and call Mass Highway.
Yes.
About the left-hand turn
with,
lane.
With the MPO study in hand.
Separate from anything else.
Sure.
Okay.
Get that started.
Mm-hmm. Just one global question.
Absolutely.
So how does an intersection like this
come
about? Maybe not. Did the state design this back in the 80s or 70s? Or?
Well, they upgraded it when they built the bridge.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's their design.
Yeah, no, yeah, they control it. So it was done in the 90s, and then it was changed in 2003 or 4 or 5, whenever they put the bridge in, or widened the bridge.
Right.
I mean, one of the problems, even today, if you're a pedestrian and they expect you to cross 100 and something feet of roadway, good luck.
Right.
It is a long, you cannot do it unless you're a jogger. And that exists today.
Right.
The intersection is so wide.
Right. And that, while there may be, there may be certain geometric improvements that can be made, we can't really change the width of it because we need those lanes. We need those lanes to get traffic through.
Yes, Peter.
Was this an F before the Starbucks improvement and before any issues regarding Pond Street, so that we were designed a nice fat F, and that any changes we do there, this is not counting Starbucks, or this is
including Starbucks.
This is the 2020 projection.
Our base includes Starbucks.
So was it an F prior to that?
Yeah.
Well, it's only an F at a certain time of day, right?
It's only an F at during the afternoon.
But my query is, what was it an F prior to Starbucks being put into the calculations?
Yes.
So the state designed this an F.
Well, I don't know what it was like when the state
designed
it. I don't know what it was like when the state designed it. There may have been changes in traffic over time.
And I get it with regard to the left-hand turn during peak hours. I get that piece, but I just want to make sure I'm clear on what we've done.
And there may be some signal timing things here that can be done to alleviate it without geometric changes, but that's something that the state would need to
have. We've asked them to tweak the intersection
In the past, can you add 5 seconds to this lane?
Right.
But then that affects every other lane.
Yeah.
You know, because if you go up there, as Matt said, on a Saturday morning or a certain time, left-hand lane's backed up down the street. And so, hey, can you tweak that by... You can't ask for big chunks of time.
You're very close to capacity in a lot of these movements. And so, you know, you're changing, adding a few seconds here, a few seconds there, just kind of moves the problem around. So that's why... widening that out to make the dual left turn lane adds the capacity for that left turn movement.
Thank you. Yes, Mr. Scangell.
This may be a dangerous question to ask, but doesn't the developer for Starbucks have a responsibility to identify these back months ago about what he's contributing?
They got a blessing from MassDOT to get a curb cut, so they would have had to provide information to him.
Well, Ron Mueller, who was their engineer, supplied data.
Mm-hmm.
And we kept on hearing on the meetings that we've had that strip counts did not exaggerate the situation or make it worse, let's put it that way. And I'm taking it out of context here.
Right. As I said, you know, it's a problem today. I saw it today coming off of 495. Yeah. Starbucks isn't open yet. It's a problem today. Starbucks, certainly in the afternoon, doesn't add a lot of trips to that left turn. Starbucks was reviewed by the state. They had recommended some single timing changes. The state had their own opinion on that. So it went through the state process and was approved.
It should have been flagged by somebody was hired to do an engineering evaluation of traffic by Starbucks, but the developer. And I didn't hear, unless I was not at the reading, did not hear that there were concerns with traffic.
Oh, yes, it were. The town hired its own independent engineer to review that report.
But that's the point, that you hired the original engineers that were hired by the developer to do the analysis. There was nothing mentioned in the report that was stated that, by the way, we're adding another segment of concern to this area. But, you know, maybe I'm missing a boat there. Doesn't do you any good at this point.
I can say the draft MPO report came out after the Starbucks.
There are slight variances in the analysis results that were reported in the Starbucks report, the analysis results that were reported in the MPO study, and even the analysis results that I've included here. Slight variances in the results.
See any further questions, Greg? I think you did a great job. Unless there's anybody else that has anything else they want to talk about, thank you very much.
All right, thank you for your time.
Okay, so I think as an EDC panel, I think right now we are coming upon a juncture where we should. I think we need to discuss moving. And correct me if I'm wrong, Jim. We're also going to discuss the Pond Street RFP. Tonight, or can we discuss the...
Yeah, you have 20 minutes. We do have a public hearing, a workshop at 7. It's chairman's prerogative to whatever you want to bring up. I mean, the agenda call for Pond Street, so...
What's that?
The agenda on the agenda.
I would like to just keep moving this. If we can move the RFP process forward and start looking at it, we are armed now with a significant... information from a traffic study, and I don't know if this is something that we can start wrapping our brains around and putting in the form of an RFP based on the fact we've already identified the three uses that we want to...
Well, I don't know if you've ever... I don't think that the subcommittee of the council has come to a conclusion as to those three specific uses and what volumes those... If you remember, we did send an RFP, we got no responses. We did get some of this said, geez, I might put a hotel there, I might put a medical office building there. We had the whole discussion about condominiums and the zoning change, but beyond that, you guys have not come back together in a group and said, if we're going to put on RFP, what are the are there going to be any components? I think there was a consensus. There was absolutely no apartments on the table, I think, from everybody, if I remember correctly. And beyond that, there was no discussion do you want to include everything or exclude other things? So that's up to
the committee. We discussed adding a residential component to the present zoning, and that's it.
Right, but the committee never discussed what the RFP would be specifically.
Let's discuss it now.
Well, that's right.
So, do I have any input from anybody in the either way? Okay, go ahead, Matt.
I mean, if we're going to go out with an RFP, I'd really like to include an opportunity to have somebody who might have a solar interest in it.
So
I don't think it would hurt to see if they come forward and what they're willing to offer.
I agree.
Well, I'll offer an RFP. Let's just look at it.
Well, when you...
Go ahead, Jeff.
So when you say a component, you're going to want...
if somebody wants the whole thing for solar and they're willing to pay the right number, why not? Why wouldn't we look at it?
Well, I think the difference is you would, if you're going to do solar, you might want to lease the property. If you're going to put a hotel on it, you might sell the property.
I think you're right, and I'm in favor of that.
And I think the issue with solar, if you're going to do that, you're going to go ASAP because the window
is closing quickly.
The SREX are closing
This,
at the end of the calendar year. So if the committee wanted to look at that separately, we would just do that out. But I don't know if someone's going to put a hotel up and then half acre of solar. So, but that's up to you guys.
Yes. I would assume they wouldn't, but somebody might come to us and be willing to pay us a nice chunk of change, at least the property put solar on, which gives us no further impact to that traffic.
So my question is, are you suggesting an RFP for solar only on a lease basis and get that out in the next 3 weeks? Or when you say it's part of a component, you can't do half sale and half lease.
Are we able to put two RFPs out at the same time?
Probably.
Could we do one solar and one for...
I don't know. I'd have to ask council. I'd have to ask for a legal.
Okay. Or can we do one that includes the option to lease the land as solar with, or purchase the land with X, Y, or Z? I think we're going to lose a huge opportunity if we don't put a solar.
Well, I think if you're going to do solar, if the committee wants to consider that, I think you should just do it ASAP and see if there's any bite. If there's no bite, then put another RFP out. You lose a few months, but I don't know. The mix and match, to me, gets confusing.
Go ahead. I mean, it's up for discussion. So
I candidly feel we've discussed the RFP on Pond Street for several months now. And it's and where this was going, and I thought it had a lot more steam than what Jeff's indicating. But we added a residential component to what's already gone out twice, and it's come back. And when it has come back, it's come back with requests for residential as a component to what we already have in the zoning. So it was my opinion, we were this close to putting a residential component into the existing RFP, and we can. I'm not opposed to adding a solar component, but I think it's too small to fit all three or all four uses. I'd like to either close the loop on the current RFP. If that doesn't fly, then if you guys want to put it out again as a solar RFP, we can do that. But I think right now the existing RFP that I thought we pretty much had a draft of is the one that we should close the loop on. So we already know by trial and error that the RFPs have not been well received. We were hoping with the fact that we added a residential component that it would be better received. So we're the only one way to find that out is to put it out and get it out once and for all. Once it goes past the boards, we can always put it out as a solar park or whatever, but that's certainly not going to make the town the kind of money that we had anticipated. I know that. I'd like to close the loop on the existing RFP with the residential component with office, where we could do either office, hotel, and residential, all three, one or the other, two or the other, two of each. Yes, Peter.
I'm going to get Bob in on the loop in this conversation, but you know, this solar piece, I'm not in favor of it with all due respect. It's just too fast, it's too new, the amount of money is significantly less, and I don't want to do it just to appease everybody, I want to do it because it's the right thing to do. But I will say that I'm a little confused. This traffic study, I mean, I think with these people, and please correct me if I'm wrong, I think what they were concerned about, what's the traffic flow going to be like in that area, you know? So I come here and I see this chart talks about all this traffic and this problem over here, but it doesn't talk about this. So, I mean, if I'm going to make a decision, let me just go on the record. Solar, no. So say what you want. I won't vote in favor of it, at least not at this point, because I feel it's kind of being foisted on us at this point. But I think this is what we're concerned about. This is part of it, of course. Of course, I want to thank the state for giving us an F on the left turn here during peak. I really appreciate that. So that now that we have this thing with this this piece going in here, it's going to make sure that we started with an F, we're going to have another fat F going in, but this is the issue. So at least, and I may be wrong, but my concern was, what's the traffic flow is going to be like here? And I do want to see something go that's going to generate some income, but I'm not sure that I'm convinced based on what I've heard so far. It's like, I think we asked for apples and we got oranges. So I don't know. I know this is something that has to be dealt with, this intersection. But I think what these residents are talking about, and some of which I agree with and some I don't, quite frankly, but I think what we're talking about here is, what's it going to be like here? Oh, that's Bob. So what's it going to be like here? So I'll tell you, as far as going forward, I would still be willing to, in my recollection, by the way, was we were talking about modifying this thing. Our group, our DEDC, was talking about modifying this such that to get it out there with those changes. That was my understanding. That I'm pretty clear on. So I want to get Bob's input on this piece, too, but I think at this point, the change speed and to go to this, I don't care what the timing is, by the way, either, because I feel like it's being forced. We started with this process. I want to see this.
I just want to close the loop on it.
Yes, but I still want to deal with this issue and with the traffic. Like, I see these stops here, but that concerns me some.
But may I ask the question?
No, well, Matt was first. But okay.
And I know your famous comment always is, I don't care what the committee did before you were on it.
Hold on one second. I didn't say that.
No, but right? You've been quoted to say that before. But let me just say that as
that
DC,
was a long time.
I agree.
A long time ago, I said that.
I agree.
And then when I say that, I mean that I'm not going to be locked into making a decision because you guys made a decision before.
I agree. But we extensively looked at solar on that site, and I would really encourage you to look at the stuff that the EDC had looked before at solar, and the numbers and the opportunities, and we really quickly abandoned that. And I feel like that is something that I'm sure Jeff can get you, that really was an option on that site at one time. And you know, we put it back as an RFP for this other, just to see what we could get. We did get somebody who came in late, and so on, and so goes the song. But I wouldn't be so fast, and I'm not trying to be rude by saying what my original comments are, but I wouldn't be so fast to count the solar out, because as, and I'm sure Jeff knows this as well, but as the programs that are out there, there's a tremendous amount of programs, and towns around us are using the solar to their advantage like crazy, and I don't want to be left going, I wish we had in 5 years. That's my only comment.
Good point.
It was my understanding with that solar plant that it started off, you know, really cute and cuddly as a solar plant, and then all of a sudden, oh, by the way, and we're going to do an anaerobic digester because solar just doesn't make us enough money. So I mean, that was the meeting I said.
That was one company.
Well, that was one company. Okay. So how do we know that won't happen again? And
that's why I'm offering.
We've worked on this thing for over 10 months, and I just want to say, I'll be right. If we can close the loop, I think the prudent strategy would be put this out, get this behind us. If this gets no response with the residential component, then we should explore the other avenues. Otherwise, we just wasted about a year and a half. Yes, I'm sorry, Steve.
No, Mr. Chairman, thank you. My name is Steve Whittington. I am a resident and I'm a town sit on the town council. My question is this. You're putting out an RFP and you haven't come up with you're talking about a residential piece and a portion to it, but you haven't broken that whole lot down. What kind of percentage is going to be a hotel? What kind of percentage is going to be condo? What kind of percentage? Because each one of them bring in different numbers.
That's right.
Some bring in a lot of traffic, some not so much. And have you discussed that, making it the most economical, not only for the town, but the most beneficial to the town citizens, bringing less traffic into an area that's already an F? So if you start looking at percentages, have you guys come together with some kind of option or what kind of percentages? And is that going to be spelled out in the RFP? It should be.
Gene, you make a good point. And candidly, I thought Greg would be addressing the impact of what we've been kicking around so far as an RFP. But
it is.
I mean,
I
really didn't hear anything specifically stating this will be horrible or this will be good as far as what could potentially happen on Pond Street. Great. I don't know if I'm wrong on that or if I'm unclear on that.
What I would say is that...
Assuming we had a residential component of condos,
right,
a medical building up front, and a midline hotel.
And that's exactly what we assume, those okay. three uses in tandem. I have no idea. But what I was saying is that there's already a problem with that. So we can't look at it and say, okay, well, if you allow this, that would be fine, versus if you allowed this, that would be a problem, because you already have a problem.
So we already have a problem, but are you saying that with the what will the Pond Street impact do? Would that be something another traffic study would have to address, and another developer have to mitigate with turning lanes and lights on Pond Street?
I don't think a developer would have to mitigate anything, because it's on state property. The state really needs to mitigate.
No, Pond Street.
On Pond Street?
Right.
It would be specific to what's being proposed there. I wouldn't say that that's something that you could dictate in advance to say,
okay,
you're going to need a left turn lane on Pond Street. And as I already mentioned, we didn't have traffic volumes for Pond Street. We took the data that we already had, which didn't include anything for Pond Street. So I don't have an assessment of what that will be or what that need will be.
I think the point was, if you look at the breakdown, you know, if the committee said, geez, we're just going to put condos, and that's 291 trips for 50 condos, versus all three is 3,000 trips, I think the Councilor Williams' point, what does the committee want to do if you're going to put out an RFP? Because ultimately it has to go to the full council for approval to do this. So the committee needs to decide what is in the RFP, what they want to propose to the council.
Well,
and that's up to you guys.
We know we don't want apartments. And I don't know, did you have a question?
My only comment was, if you put the RFP out, the council doesn't have to accept any percentage. Am I correct? If the applicant comes forward with all hotel and all medical and very minimal residential, you can say that's not what we want. Mm-hmm. Someone might come forward and say we want 90% residential and 10% medical. That might be a good thing. So you have the right to determine the percentages when it's proposed to you, correct?
Yes, Matt Kelly.
It is different.
Mr. Halligan's correct. I mean, if we put the RFP out, we get anything back. We can like it, not like it, get rid of it, keep it. And I agree with the chairman. Let's get something out. I just would like to get as many options sent back to us as possible. Because, you know what, I'm not the smartest guy in the room. And somebody might come back with something much better than any of us in this room ever thought of. And one of us, or a group of us, might say, well, that's a really great idea. We never thought of that for this site. Let's do that.
Yes, Peter.
So, through the chair, so is this the traffic study that Chief Williams is looking towards? Is this giving us the numbers in that area? Is that what this does?
This is trips that would be expected by some assumed uses for that site.
So it is in the report, Chief. The report says on page 5, a 50,000 square foot medical building, 120 rooms and 50 condos. So they're the numbers that you're looking for, and I was looking for.
I understand that, but you as a committee have not... Or are you planning, and you should be planning, to put something like that in your RFP going out, so somebody can bid on that project with some intelligence?
Well, absolutely. That would have to be that. And that would probably be the type of numbers we'd be looking at. Thank you. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. But why would we want to limit ourselves?
Well, because you'll come in with...
We'll discover, what if we discover somebody
15 bids come in, and none of them are like... Because they haven't come up with the right proposal that's going to break down the numbers, that's going to be beneficial to the town's people.
But my only comment to that is, what
if we know we want less traffic there, should we not spell it out in the RFP that will bring the less traffic to that area? Instead of leaving it wide open.
I understand that, but I think that if we start saying no to this or no to that, we start limiting ourselves to what we're actually... What could potentially be? I'd rather get 20 bids. I don't want one bid. I want 100 bids. I want to know what's out there.
Steve, I'd like to answer your question too. I don't know if you were if you're aware of it. Right now, there are some parameters to this RFP. Okay, as far as density, at least we're discussing some density factors for residential, and but it's the only way we're going to see this is if it comes back to us. We have right now. We've identified. We haven't voted on yet, or we haven't accepted. We've identified three uses that could be done on Pond Street. We wanted to make... There is an accepted zone over there now. We're trying to make the residential part of that zoning so that a developer could come in and he could say, you know, I don't think a hotel's going to work here, and I don't really think there's more need for office space in Franklin, but, you know, mid-range to high-end condos might work within the right number, and it'll be the least impact on traffic. If we see something like that, maybe we'll like it. Maybe we'll say we don't want condos in Franklin. We'd rather see a nice medical or something like more a hospital. We don't know that until we see it. We got to get this thing off dead center is all I'm saying. We spent a lot of time on this. So I think Mr. Scarangelo had to stand up first.
Two meetings ago or three meetings ago in a council meeting where the residential component was added to the RFP, or at least it was suggested to be added. We wanted to restrain or restrict the amount of units that are condos / not apartments. If we backtrack away from that restriction and we leave it open, we've lost, you know, we've lost what we wanted to do, which was to restrict the developer with the number of square feet or acreage, whatever you want to call it, and the number of units that we could build. If you leave it wide open, then he comes back and says, I could put 100 condos up there. Then you say, wait a minute, I didn't want 100, I want 50. Or 40 or 30.
I'm sorry, buddy.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Two things. I agree with Matt on the solar thing, because Jeff says that we're running out of time on that. So we might have to get that RFP out. And I agree with Peter, because we don't have an idea until that study comes back on Pond Street, which, I mean, I don't think much traffic can go down there anyway. I mean, that's my personal opinion. That's why I vote the way I vote, and I'll always vote that way. But I don't know why we can't send that out too and see what the difference is. I mean, and I agree with these guys. We said 50 condos. Why not 50 condos? And well, if they come back with 100, then we're going to throw it away. We know we're going to throw it away. So why don't we just restrict it as it is now?
We're not doing a traffic. We're not, to the best of my knowledge, we're not going to do another traffic study in Pond Street, are we?
Only if the council wants it. I mean, all you'd be doing is traffic counts.
Why not?
Right.
The town can put a cable across the street and count cars, but that takes a month. But Mike, can I have a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
What I'm failing to understand is if I'm a neighbor and I have a choice between a medical office building with 1,800 trips or 75 condos with 400 trips, you'd rather have the medical office building. Is that what I'm hearing?
No, I didn't say that.
No, you said you wanted to restrict. And
well,
again, I'm trying to understand.
The herring in the whole presentation over the last few months was we didn't want apartments.
Well, I think that's a given.
Okay. We got a residential component to enhance the developer coming forward and bid on this project.
Right.
What is that? Let's give it a condo component. Well, how many? And we wrestled with that. We didn't agree to 50, but that kept being kicked around. Right. Do I want 50 versus to give 291 versus 1,800? No. I mean, if you want to develop that whole property with condos, I mean, as an example, and accounts favor you, one of the things is that you're not going to get the money you're looking for, was my understanding, right?
Yeah, but I think one of the things that the council's wrestling for is income to the town versus impact to the neighbors.
Agreed.
And then they're trying to wrestle with that.
Right, and that's great. That's what we should have been doing with Starbucks. Well, that's gone.
Yeah. Look, we don't have much more time, Mr. Scarangelo. I'd like to take one more question. Candidly, I'd like
we have a meeting scheduled in the 8th, if you want.
At what time?
You would ask me to schedule a meeting for April 8th, unless you can get this resolved.
Go ahead, Sandra, I'm sorry.
Two things. The first thing is we understand that you're talking about, you know, the community wants this and this. What I think that the community understands that the biggest moneymaker for the town is the hotel. And so I think that, at least in my mind, the concession was if you know, the hotel can be there, but limit the number of condos that you're going to give us. I think that that's what it is. It's more of the, we understand the town wants and needs the hotel. So let's scale back because that's the biggest moneymaker, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
100%.
The other thing is that we're saying that this RFP is almost done. The last time that we were in this room, the residents requested and suggested a lot of provisions or parameters to go into that RFP, but we haven't seen where that's been. Have those parameters and those suggestions been implemented into the RFP?
We're not even at that stage yet.
I think you said that it was almost done because we weren't done in our.
So I think some of the issues, for instance, if I recall, one was a setback on the north side. That was in the original RFP. access to the river was in the original RFP. I think the one that wasn't in the original RFP was going to be any setback from Pond Street. But I think the two of the other ones were in the original RFP that were asked about. What the committee hasn't discussed is it going to be 0, 50, or 100, or whatever number was set back on Pond Street?
I have a list right here.
Also, the I think we're talking about time, and you're running up against a community that's very hesitant. You know, and I understand that maybe like solar isn't something that you are very excited about as a committee, but we would really appreciate it if you looked at it and looked at it with an open mind, because I think that we would line up in favor of it and have you put out the RFP for a solar farm tomorrow if that was the option that was given to us. So if you're talking about wasting time and maybe going out another year with nothing coming back with the RFP, and in the meanwhile lose out on a great solar capacity, solar use for that land that the community would fully support, I would just ask that you look at that option with an open mind, as many of your colleagues have, and we really appreciate it.
Okay, why don't we do this? And for the sake of compromise, why don't we just move this to the April 8th meeting? But I really do want to close that. I really do want to close the loop come April 8th. So if you, all three of you from Pond Street, want to come and discuss this any further, we will have an April 8th meeting. And see what compromises we can make. But this, I want to get, the only way we'll know what we're looking at is if this RFP goes out and comes back. And it may come back with nothing. And then a lot of us will see that the three components of the RFP that we put out was not a good RFP or a responsible RFP, and we'll have to think of something else. I've always been in favor of a general RFP. I understand that's a misnomer. There's no such thing. We can't do that. I would love to see a general RFP with all kinds of ideas coming back at us. But we are boxed into the current zoning now, and we have to we're thinking that the residential component added to this will get a better response. So that's where we're at right now. We'll have another meeting to discuss it, I guess, April 8th. And that's the best we can do.
You want to do it at 6 o'clock again?
Is 6 o'clock?
That's when you usually meet.
So okay.
Post the meeting.
Okay. Thank you very much. Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
We'll take a 5-minute recess while we move the things to the board.
As we close this meeting recording, let me remind you that if you like what I'm doing here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something, please tell me. It's through this feedback loop that we can help improve the information that I provide for you. Thank you for listening. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is entitled Ernesto Mañana. Copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes, copyright 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy.